Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches part two of the message entitled, The Effectual Prayer. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to John chapter 14. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
I'm speaking about effectual prayer. And we said this morning that there are six times we are told to pray whatever we desire. And we have to consider certain limiting concepts that limit our requests. First, it should be in the name of Jesus Christ. Second, it should be for the glory of God. Third, it should be prayed by people who are fruitful, obedient. And we are told the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now the fourth consideration. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, 16th chapter, verse 23 and 24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. In that day means after his ascension. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. See, NIV, you know, I know Greek, so I know when they do wrong. Ask, and you will receive in order that, for the purpose that, your joy will be full. Now, this is interesting. Don't pray, don't make requests, unless your requests will make you fully happy. Unless these requests will fill you to overflowing with joy. God is interested, friends, in our full happiness. Ask the Father in my name, he shall receive, that your joy may be full. If you are Greek people, it is perfect passive participle pepleromene, that you will be happy forevermore. You'll be in a state of fullness of happiness. Not a little bit. Full happiness, sir. The way to happiness, then, is to seek the glory of God in all what we do. Our Heavenly Father, whom we glorify through obedience to His will, in turn does all things for our complete eternal happiness. You just think about this fallen, miserable, wretched world. God could have destroyed it. But all what God has done in this fallen world is to make us happy, sacrificing His own Son on the cross. Friends, the triune God is committed to our unending happiness. Just let that sink in, because people don't want to believe it. The Bible doesn't make any sense if that is not God's eternal plan and purpose. We seek God's glory by praying to God in the name of His Son. When we pray to God in the name of His Son, God is glorified. By bearing much fruit for God, by abiding in His Son. When we do this, God seeks to make us fully happy. You seek His glory. He seeks our happiness. God hears our prayers so that we can be happy, joyful. Yes, He provides for our existence. Thank God that He gave us existence. He gave us being. And not only He gave us being, He makes us happy by giving us food and clothing and housing and medicine and healing and husbands and wives and children and church and money. We have a body, and God gave us the body, and the body needs to be supported and sustained, and God provides everything. And we need money, sir. Yes, we need money. Jesus needed money. We need money. And He gives us money through jobs which we do with knowledge we gain and health which God gives. So I say to you, people, young people who are lazy, I say to you, work hard. God provides through work, for which we acquire diligently knowledge. He takes care of our body and our eternal soul. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But it is not food and clothing and people that make us happy ultimately. They do make us happy, but they are secondary. Ultimately, we are made happy, and we can only be happy by God's presence. God's presence, sir. You didn't think about that. Life does not consist in things, stuff that we possess, which is an American definition. Listen to what Jesus said. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And I would say that will be a wonderful show. The revelation of Jesus Christ to our soul that makes us extremely happy, sir. And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is a happy experience. We are created to find rest and peace and joy and happiness in God. And David says, Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. We are created to be happy in God. Psalm 27, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. For what purpose? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. We only need one thing, and it is not gold and silver and stuff and things and houses and cattle. It is a great misunderstanding of the Western man that what makes us happy are stuff. God makes us happy. Psalm 73, we read, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail." My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Ask friends, is this your psalm and your testimony, your conviction? Habakkuk the prophet says, though the fig tree does not bud, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. And in 1 John, the Apostle John says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make your joy complete." Yes. Friends, fullness of joy is in fellowship with God and with God's people. Joy is in relationship. Jesus Christ, when He lived on this earth, He was the most happy person because He enjoyed the presence of the Father continuously. And then comes the cry of dereliction from the cross, because mysteriously He was not enjoying fellowship with the Father for 3 hours. And He cried out, not for His pain of the body, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's it, sir. Our joy, fullness of it, our happiness, fullness of it, comes in the presence of our God. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us who were far near God, that we may behold Him and rejoice. That's what the cross did. Pray for me. I've been praying this. One request, sir. I pray, Lord, increase my love for you. I don't pray for money. I don't pray for anything. Oh, Lord, increase my love for you. I am to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I don't think I'm doing that. And pray for me. And I've been praying this, oh God. I'm not asking for gold and silver. Silver and gold have I, none but such as I have I give unto you. Pray, friends, that you may experience the presence of God and be delighted with His presence. Away with all the playthings that the Western man devised and the Eastern man is looking for through global trade, making everybody happy. The prerequisite for a good death is increased love for God. Otherwise, you don't want to die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Learn to love God right here, sir. So that when God calls you, you would say, I want to go. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. By way of application, I want to say a number of things. First, are you a Christian? If you are not a Christian, you cannot pray and your prayer is not heard. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, sir. And if you are a Christian, you can pray and pray effectually in the light of what I have said. Number two, pray at set times, in a set place daily. If prayer is a haphazard, superficial, silly thing in the busyness of your life, you are not a Christian. You don't need God. You have $2. Why do I need God? Now, friends, I was raised praying. You get up at 4 a.m, an hour of prayer. In the evening, an hour of prayer and reading the Word and serious teaching of the Word of God. Set times. Daniel prayed 3 times. We are too rich, we are too full, we are self-sufficient, we don't want to pray. We do on the run, sir. Everything is on the run. Find certain time, set time, and set place. Number three, pray for yourself, your family, your friends, your church, your missionaries, and your government. And above all, pray for sinners that they be saved. Pray for sinners. Beginning with your own relatives, that they may be saved. And it will be proper prayer. It is the will of God prayer. I'm glad you are going to heaven, but I'll be happier if you take few people with you to heaven. Number four, pray in the will of God. And the will of God is found in the Scriptures. Those who pray effectually are those who are serious in the study of the Word of God to discover the will of God. Paul says, don't be foolish, but understand what pleases the Lord. Number five, pray in faith, knowing that God, eternal, personal, triune, our Savior, hears your prayers. I believe in a God who hears and answers prayers. I'm in your business, O God. It's your business to take care of me. I believe that He is my God. And He is interested in my life, body and soul. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe! Those who come to God must believe that He exists and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, that's the next point. Pray in relational unity, relational harmony. When you stand praying, forgive him if you hold anything against anyone. Let me tell you, the early church, they came together. King James uses an expression, in one accord. Unity, sir. Matthew 5:23 and 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there. Stop praying. In front of the altar, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift, then come and pray. Don't you ever think that God will hear our prayer when there exists relational problem. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Now you understand why in your family the prayer was not heard. Pray in relational unity. James 5:16, confess your sins, pray for one another. Next, pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20, pray in the Holy Ghost. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost, in the energy and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will give you utterance. He will tell you what to pray for. And you will see the freedom in prayer, as well as you see freedom in singing and freedom in preaching, sir. Holy Spirit will come upon you, sir, and will give you this urge, this stimulation to pray. And you will pray, and God will hear that prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for God's glory, as we already said. Not for selfish interests. James 4 verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask evilly, that you may indulge in your own pleasures. Self-centered prayer. And a lot of our prayers are self-centered. And nothing to do with the glory of God. It doesn't even occur to us that we ought to pray for the glory of God. Next, if you are a person who doesn't like to pray, doesn't like to get up, and who doesn't like to read the Bible, I have news for you. He'll help you. Maybe you don't like it, but he's going to help you. Zechariah chapter 13, 8 and 9. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish. He says he's going to kill 2/3 of so-called God's people. You just destroy them. Yet 1/3 will be left in it. They are the elect of God. They are the lazy ones. They don't want to pray. All right, you want God to help you? Listen to this. This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. He will take us through fire. And we feel dependent and not sufficient in ourselves. And all of a sudden, we'll cry out to God. Thank God for that pain in the back. Thank God for the persecution. Thank God for all the other situations you go through. There is a purpose for it, so that you will pray. John Piper, Reverend John Piper, cites John Calvin his commentary on this verse 9 of Zechariah 13. Listen, 16th century insight of this great Calvin. Listen to this. It is therefore necessary that we should be subject from first to last to the scourges of God, meaning beatings, in order that we may from the heart pray. For our hearts are enfeebled by prosperity. So that we cannot make the effort to pray. We are prosperous. Money, health, peace. We have no problem. And I added to Calvin's commentary this: our hearts are enabled by adversity, so we pray earnestly and effectually. Thank God for the scourges and the pain and the misery. Thank God for all the fiery trials that you are going through and you will go through. Thank God for that heart failing and the disease and everything else and the syndromes. If you are an elect, you'll pray. And God will hear. Did you say you are not praying much? If I were you, I will go like this and start praying before the fiery trials come. You tell him, oh God, I'll take care of you. So please. Please. Pray based on God's promises. The Bible is full of promises. You can underline it with a blue pen or a red pen or whatever. The Bible is full of promises. And you can pray based on that promise. Lord, you promised it, and please do it. Turn with me to Joshua 21. 44 and 45, the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Joshua 23 verse 14, now I am about to go the way of all the earth, you know with all your heart and soul, that not one of all good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. The Holy Spirit takes time to emphasize his promises. He will keep. God is not a man that he should lie, neither he is the son of man that he should change his mind. What he has promised, he will do. And so we pray, Lord, you promised to give us food. Please give me food. You feed the birds. We are greater than birds. Remember, David is praying. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant. Do as you promised. That's a good prayer. Don't put words into God's mouth. Just tell him, this is what you promised. Do as you promised. Listen to St. Paul, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. No matter how many promises God has made a lot of promises for his people. Not one, not two, not three, thousands and thousands of promises he has made. A good Bible student knows that. And prayer is turning the word back to God. You said it. You do it for me. And he does it. He likes that confidence. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are what? Yes! In Christ. And so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The next thing, sir, expect answer. If you don't expect answer, you treated God with contempt. It was a ceremonial prayer. It had no substance because you have money. Expect God to answer. I prayed for, oh God, we have a baptism. Please give me a respite. And there was. Pray, sir. Expect an answer. And then thank God. God doesn't like unthankful people. Thank God for God answering our prayers. And the last point, pray knowing God answers in ways that glorify himself. Jesus prayed 3 times, if it is possible to remove, not answered. Paul prayed 3 times that God may remove the thorn, the torment, the messenger of Satan. And God answered it and said what? My grace is sufficient. I know what is good for you. I gave you this with a purpose so that you will not become proud and conceited and arrogant and independent. But my grace is sufficient. And Paul said, Amen. And he said, I glory in my weaknesses. When I am weak, then I am strong, sir. Be open for God to answer your prayers in ways that is different, but in ways that will glorify his name and is good for you. Heavenly Father, teach us to pray. Help us to pray. Because prayer is relational. We are your children. Prayer is speaking to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ in the energy and guidance of the Holy Ghost. Lord, in the days ahead, help us to pray and receive answers that your name may be glorified and we will be made happy. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio of Part 2 of this message entitled, The Effectual Prayer. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.